Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words that I share, may the thoughts that we all have in our hearts and minds be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and the one who saves us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One year, I don't know exactly what year it was, I think it was some time ago, on New Year's Day in the Tumen of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and stopped. It had run out of gas. And the whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas, put it in the tank, and get the float moving again. Now, what makes this funny? The float was sponsored by the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck had run out of gas. Now, the power at that point was not with Standard Oil, with all of their resources and everything, but the power, or lack of power, however you might want to put it, that day was with the guy who was supposed to fill up the truck. And today I'm talking about power, even though it might not be quite as apparent. Today's scriptures deal with power and who has it and who doesn't. And I think this is especially appropriate on Reformation Sunday, because I think when we talk about the Reformation, we're talking about a change, a very important change of power. Reformation Sunday reminds us of the Protestant Reformation, which we like to say started with Martin Luther when he nailed his 95 theses, or complaints against the Catholic Church, to the Wittenberg Castle Church door in 1517 in Wittenberg, Germany. But in reality, the Reformation had started before that time. The major hallmark, as you've heard me say just about every Reformation Sunday, the major hallmark of the Reformation was it put the Bible into the hands of the common people. And by saying that, what I'm saying is it put the book that they could understand, because Luther translated it into German. And of course, it was a great act in history because it coincided with the invention of the printing press by Gutenberg. And so Luther and Gutenberg were able to get the German language Bible out to the people quickly. So now people could read and understand the Bible themselves. But it was bigger than that. It moved the power for one's life from the priesthood to the common people. Think about it. In the worship of Jesus' day, the priests were the intermediaries between God and the people. Through their sacrifices and their following of the law, the priests would declare then that God had forgiven or cleansed the people. When the Christian church started, of course, the only church there was for many years was the Roman Catholic Church. The priests of the Roman Catholic Church became much like the priests of the temple of ancient Judaism, in that they were the intermediaries between God and the people, because they read from the official Latin Vulgate Bible. And really the only ones, especially outside of Italy, but the only ones who knew the language of classical Greek could understand what they were reading. And so the priest had to read it and interpret what they just read to the people. So the power was still in the priest's hands, as it were. The people had to follow the preaching, the rules of the priests in both the Roman Catholic and the ancient Jewish faith. Rules and laws. Of course, by placing the Bible into the hands of the people, it put the responsibility of knowing the law and the rules into their own hands. But at a deeper level, we move from laws to grace in the Reformation. And this was also about power. When you live by laws, there is always someone to say, you broke the law. You did it wrong. Think of our own law enforcers today. But with grace, we move from fear and legalism of laws, of someone saying, you broke the law, to forgiveness and mercy, which are extended by God. Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber, a wonderful young Lutheran pastor in Denver area at the All Sinners and Saints Lutheran Church. Imagine this young 20-something, well now maybe she's about early 30-something woman, tattooed all over. Was the pastor of this church. And in a sermon on a Reformation Day sermon, which she titled, Why the Gospel is More Wizard of Ozzy Than the Law, she describes the difference between law and grace like this. And I find this very helpful. She says, I offer you a way to spot the difference between law and gospel. And grace would be gospel for her. You can tell the law because it's almost always an if-then proposition. If you follow the rules in the Bible, then God will love you and you will be happy. If you lose 20 pounds, then you will be worthy to be loved. If you live a perfectly righteous, green, eco lifestyle, then you will be worthy of taking up space on the planet. If, then. She says the gospel is not an if-then proposition. It's more of a Wizard of Oz than that. The gospel is a because proposition. Because God is our creator, and because we rebel against the idea of being created being and insist on trying to be God for ourselves, and because God will not play by our rules, and because in the fullness of time, when God had had quite enough of all of that, God became human in Jesus Christ to show us who God really is, and because when God came down, because. It's the recitation of the gospel of grace. And in the end she says, therefore you are saved by grace as a gift and not by the works of the law, and this truth will set you free like no self-help plan or healthy living or social justice work could ever do. But how does that give us power? It gives us power by giving us the freedom to fail in living out the gospel. When we trust God, which is what faith is all about, remember I've done sermons on faith, and it's not about certainty, it's about trust, when there is no certainty. When we trust in God, then we are free to work to make the gospel alive in our lives and in the world. David Loos of the workingpreacher.org site tells of a story he heard about Martin Luther. He writes, this past summer I was visiting Wittenberg actually be Wittenberg. And I heard a story about Martin Luther I hadn't heard before that seems appropriate for those observing Reformation Sunday this week. I knew that Luther died in Islingen, Germany, the place which also happened to be his place of birth, bringing his work and life, in essence, a full circle. And I knew that he preached his last sermon there after successfully negotiating disputes between several local magistrates. He says, what I didn't know was that only 5 people showed up for that sermon. What I didn't know was that he was quite upset. David used a different word, but I'm going to use quite upset. And he wrote a friend about the event, despairing over what he feared was a failed Reformation. We all have sinned and fall short. Paul makes that abundantly clear in our Romans passage. Jesus might say, we can be slaves to our sin and keep trying to live by the law, or we can trust in the grace of God and be free. We can be free to move beyond ourselves, to share the gospel of grace with others. Because you see, grace turns our gaze outward. Laws and rules turn our gaze inward. Am I breaking the rules? It's all about me. Jesus frees us from worrying about ourselves and thinking about, and allows us to think more about others. That's how the gospel is lived out. Think about the life of Jesus. Could he have done the things he did if he lived his life worrying about someone else's recitation of the law? He was often called on the carpet by the priests and the Pharisees because they, according to their understanding of the law, he wasn't following the law. And instead, he risked their rejection by living out of his sense of grace, and he was killed for it. He trusted that God offered him grace, and he did what he felt had to be done. Think of Luther in that last sermon to just 5 people and wondering if the Reformation was a failure. But I also know that Luther knew that rules were not the way to go. In spite of that, worried that maybe this Reformation was a failure, he knew he didn't want to go back to what was. Because we hear in this little section of his life history, young Brother Martin, this is when he was younger, and he was a Catholic priest, fully dedicated himself to monastic life. The effort to do good works, to please God, and to serve others through prayer for their souls. Yet peace with God escaped him. He devoted himself to fasts, to flagellation, long hours in prayer and pilgrimages, and constant confession. The more he tried to do for God, it seemed the more aware he became of his own sinfulness. He could not make himself feel right with God by following the laws. He just couldn't get there because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, he gave that up and went to justification by grace or by faith. It's the same thing. That was all it was. So even at the end of his life, when he wasn't sure if the Reformation was going to be successful, he knew that he had to trust God and that God would take care of him. And that's power. That is true power. That's freedom. We can do what we feel is right and not worry about what's going to happen to us if we're wrong. That's the power that allows people to move mountains. The power to change entrenched values and ideas that have become anti-gospel. That is the power that can start a new release of the gospel in the world. That is a power that you and I each need to claim and reclaim over and over and over. But we won't get it right all the time. Because, like everybody else, we have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We're humans. But the gospel of grace says, keep trying. Keep working at it. I will love you no matter what. I will take care of you no matter what. That's the power we need to reclaim. Just because.